Blog Talk Radio.
Today is Tuesday, June 22nd, and this is Foxology. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Happy Tuesday to you. I hope it's a great day in your neighborhood already. I hope that whatever you are doing to help things get moving and shaking, I hope that that's exactly what you're doing to make it a great day. You know, that's what it takes to make things happen. By the way, what are you making happen? My inquiry, my wants to know. I want to know, did you get up with a goal on your mind? Did you bounce out of bed ready and set to go? Did you plan a plan today? Well, did you? I am wondering if you're working that plan. You got to work. That's what works. The only way to make things happen is to make things happen. That's not just what I've been told. That's what I know. And if there was another way, an easier way, I sure would want to know about it, but there isn't. You just got to get up and make up your mind and go for it. Snatch it, grab it, design it, mold it, build it, buy it, invest it, get it. Be all over it. Yes, indeed. All of that. That's what it takes. You know what else I want to see you be about? Your health. That right there is important and needs to be a priority. Should I say it again? It's important and it needs to be a priority. Today we'll be talking about men's health, nutritional and wellness needs. Did you know that it's Men's Health Month? And so we're going to highlight a few important things the fellas should know, young, old, and in between. My expert in matters of health, wellness, and nutrition, Sunday Muniz, joins me again today. Oh, how awesome is that? It's a very important topic that we're going to give to you, especially today, guys. Live healthier, stronger, and longer. That's what's moving and shaking on my platform today. Welcome, Sunday.
Thank you. It's so good to be back, as always. I love to be here.
Oh, and I indeed enjoy having you as much. So thank you, lady. Well, you know,
before
we get started talking about the things that concern our fellas, our guys, our men, I would like to ask you some thoughts on the current COVID situation. Where are we at?
right?
It is funny.
Because it's kind of like up and down and all over the place. Let me just tell everyone to, not drop all the armor yet. No matter what, immune health is an always thing. You always need to focus on immune health. This is a nonstop, everyday, always needs to happen. I don't want people to lose sight of that. Like, oh, it's all over. I got the shot and now I'm all, the immune health is an always thing. We kind of forget that aspect. I focus on it all the time. I'm missing part of my own immune system due to a surgery years ago. And so I literally every day focus on immune health. And when I say immune health, this involves everything from, you're making cancerous cells every day. It's your body's job to deal with it. You want to focus on your immune system so your body has those tools. Every day you're exposed to infection, your body's job is to deal with it, and you want to make sure that your body's doing that. So kind of going forward, no matter what direction you're choosing to take and how you address, the current situation, I am all about continue to do things now. Always be focusing on something you can do positive for your own immune health, you know, and for me, just not to, you know, I just keep reiterating the same fact. Sometimes the simplicity in things like vitamin D, you know, Silver, you and I have talked into vitamin D for years, and this is pre-COVID. We talked about the incredible importance that this particular nutrient, actually hormone, serves in your body. So mm-hmm. never forget this piece. It's just massively, massively important. And, you know, and the fact that, you know, most of America and most people in the world, we're so lacking in vitamin D. I understand our fear of the sun. I have a lot of skin cancer in my family, so I understand some of those concerns, but never forget the beauty of what vitamin D can do for your own immune health. So keep focusing on some of those important immune things so going forward that you have some protection. I tell people that, you know, no matter where you're at, you want to be proactive for your immune health, whether you even, you know, because diagnoses are still happening out there. So if you get test positive for COVID, realize you don't have to just freeze and ride it out and hope something doesn't go worse for you. I want you to be proactive right from the get-go. There's amazing things you can do when you do get a positive test. And then I want people to understand, too, that we're also that nutritionally and us in this nutrition field are there for you for all the after effects. There's a lot of after things that happen. I think since I last spoke to you, I have a family member who ended up in the hospital with COVID. And from the moment I got the text from her that she was in the hospital, she also has leukemia. So we were extra concerned, okay? So because she already has this issue that's been going on for about 10 years or so. So she's got the good kind, the kind that, you know, you can just, you know, live a long time with, but still is going to create a more compromised situation. She struggles with a lot of fatigue anyway. And from the moment that diagnosis came in, she immediately reached out to me, and we got her set up. It's things that she actually, we got sent to her in the hospital. She took everything faithfully, and then got her out within a week, and she's doing phenomenal in her recovery. So, you know, as soon as I got her home, then we knew that, you know, what we needed to do going forward. Vitamin C is extremely beneficial in her leukemia state anyway. So we really, you know, pushed that, and within a very short amount of time, we kind of got her back to feeling like herself again. So realize that you know, there's many different steps we can take all the way through. This thing is still out there, so you still want to be proactive. And always remember even, too, because we have this idea that once we have the shot, then our lifestyle doesn't matter. And that's so not true, okay? If, you know, you want to claim your health, just having the shot doesn't mean you can't become susceptible to things. And we know that you can still get COVID and you can still spread COVID even once you've been vaccinated. So you need to understand that, you know, still being responsible for your own health is important. And just, you know, everybody just be smart and find a good way to protect yourself. And also just a little side note, the nutrition world is also here for those people who have had side effects from the shot, because those are very, very high numbers. It's what all the data suggests. So also realize that, you know, make sure that you, if you do have some things you're struggling with, make sure to reach out to people within the nutrition world, because we can definitely help you with some of those struggles. I've spent a lot of time with that as well over these last number of months. So I guess that's kind of a little my update for now. You know, going forward, just be smart, keep yourself strong, never forget that immune health is an everyday thing. Stay diligent to good immune protection. So,
Sundi, thank you for sharing that.
Yep. Sure.
And particularly, I'm glad you did, because the whole idea of COVID is still scaring people to death. And I think it's important when you speak of someone that you know personally that already had a what might be referenced as a critical illness,
right?
And then they got
right.
it, and they're surviving well. So I think it's important
yep.
for people to understand, you know, where things are right now. I mean, it came on strong, and it's taken tremendous amount of lives. But I think that people, you know, we're kind of getting an greater understanding of things. So that I think that story that you just shared is very, very important. So thank you for that. I want to ask you one thing before we
sure.
shift gears to talk about men. One of the last things I wanted to ask you about the last time we talked, when our entire topic was about COVID, was about the shots for children. And I needed to
yep.
just give you some, ask you
yep.
to get some reflection on that.
Yeah. Well, I on something that is still so, it was an emergency declaration to use this. We still have very little research, especially on outcomes. We have research on how to do this. We don't have research on outcomes. This is all part of very strong unknowns. And the logic to me, the illogic of vaccinating children against something that is literally, all the numbers point to it. I love numbers. I've always loved numbers. I've loved science. This is a non-issue. This is literally a non-issue. So I have a very, 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 very difficult time with taking the risks on children, especially when you see what, you know, the vaccine side effects have just skyrocketed since January. And you can, you know, do your own research if you want to and go look all of those numbers up. But we've seen a crazy elevation in vaccine issues, everything from, you know, side effects, lingering side effects, to deaths associated with vaccine, all related to what's going on. Why in the world would we take those risks on our children when this is the infection of this is a non-issue for them? Again, all the numbers show it. They're more likely, much, much more likely to die of the flu than they are to die of COVID. So why would we consider doing this? And even the fact of, you know, exposure and transmission, we've also known that just kids are not an issue. So again, I kind of question, why would we do this to our children when it's a non-issue? I also have a very hard time with the, you know, vaccinating in any age group, even in the 20-somethings, that this is a non-issue for. So, you know, I don't see the logic in it. I don't see the science in it. And you know, I just only see the potential for somebody with a lot of dollar signs behind it. So I just don't feel it's worth the risk. Because again, the side effects, the long-term side effects, and you know the deaths associated with some of these shots so far, you know, are staggering. You know, and why risk that in a child? Again, when it's a non-issue for them, when COVID's a non-issue. So that's definitely, you know, to me where the numbers kind of point. You know, I think it's a matter of that I just don't like seeing the idea of doing this to our children. I've had all these same discussions, you know, with, you know, a couple of my kids who are struggling with the peer pressure to get the shot is so incredibly strong, even with that, within the age groups where, again, COVID's a non-issue. It's pretty staggering. So, you know, so it's conversations I've had too with a couple of my kids, and you know, it's always their personal choice, because I do believe in that. But you know, at least we've had conversations. So I feel for all the struggles out there. I feel for the peer pressure, unlike anything I've like ever seen before, to do this. I mean, I. I'm concerned about that too. So,
yeah.
But anyway, as far as kids, I just don't see it. The science just is not there that even warrants doing this on our children. So, yeah, not a fan. Not a fan at all. So, yeah.
Well, I'm glad you shared that as well. I have one other thing I'd like to ask. I'm just trying to make sure that since I've got some ears, that we do get some expert insights on things. The current numbers of people who've been vaccinated and the, you know, you one day you hear, you know, we're at a good place and the numbers are dropping, the reports of COVID are dropping, the death number, the death rate is dropping. And then they come with this onslaught about this Delta, the virus, the Delta
right.
deal.
Right.
I can't think of the full terminology of it right now, but so I have not heard though any numbers associated with Delta other than it's in 47 states now. Was that 47
right.
people? Is that 10 people in one state,
right,
a half a person
right.
in
yeah.
another? And, you know, you just don't know when they throw it out there like that. But
right.
The question that I'm pointing to is how do you feel, what are your thoughts about the current situation? Because a lot of the restrictions are being minimized now and people are, where I live and places I go, I still see a lot of masks. But I see a lot of people who don't wear them either, and neither thing disturbs me one way or the other. I do want to say this about people who have been vaccinated and who don't wear their masks, because this experience was real for me the other day, and I found it extremely disturbing. I was at the grocery store in the produce department looking at some vegetables, fresh vegetables and that, and picking out a few things. So a gentleman rolls up on one of those carts in the store, an older guy, and all of a sudden, he doesn't have a mask. I'm assuming he's vaccinated, but he coughs all over the tomatoes. I mean, just coughs all over them. And I'm looking at him with that look. He's looking at me like, I see you looking at me like that. I guess I kind of had a smirk on my face about it. Like, just because you don't need your mask anymore does not give you permission to cough all over these vegetables, because
right,
that was just
right.
nasty.
I know, right?
So I say that to say,
yeah.
don't forget that, you know, some protocols are fine, but, you know, do what makes sense. And I really felt like that gentleman felt like I have no, you know, potential to spread anything now, so it won't matter. But,
exactly.
Do it smart.
That doesn't make
sense.
I've seen so many people say that. I've seen people cough and go, oh, don't worry, I'm vaccinated. And I'm like, no, do you understand that this is
cover your mouth anyway.
And thousands and thousands and thousands. So the human condition is infection. We are constantly, exposed to so much, and we are just a purveyor of infection. It's just the way we are. We're a petri dish. So it's you always need to. I mean, the whole, sneezing and your elbow and doing all those different types of things those are things we just always should be doing anyway. So this is just what the human condition is. It's always been I guess it definitely want to make me like triple wash my produce when I get home after a story like that. But, it's also
Well, I did.
You wash you clean your produce, you try to do all that stuff. So, because it is just who we are. I mean, even our hands are constantly, full of things, and it's just the way it is. It's why I am such a strong believer, in the concept of what we call, terrain. So making you, as strong as possible, your body able to deal with the things it's constantly bombarded with every day. So it's not even just cancer or those, you know, infection that you're constantly bombarded with, but, you know, we're exposed to tons of pollens and various things every time we walk outside and we breathe, and our body can, you know, has to deal with all these things. And you hope it deals with it in a positive way so that you don't have like a full-blown asthma attack by walking outside and breathing in pollens. Some people that happens. But again, all these things are part of immune. So the stronger the body, the more the body has those tools to help, you know, the, you know, always better outcomes, always. So,
right,
you know, it's just, again, always being smart. And again, that's why immune health is an always thing. It's an always thing. You always need to be focused on it, and you need to be thinking about it, because we live in a very connected society. We just a week plus ago, I drove my daughter's car back to California. My mom and I did a road trip. It was a blast, just mom and daughter. I talked the entire time, and it felt like we only took us 4 hours to drive across the country. But, in that process, though, you know, you encounter a lot of different people. You see a lot of different things. I flew back, and then now, of course, just watching the airports and how busy they are, I was like, yeah, well, you know, we always encounter a lot of people in our day-to-day. We live very, very connected lives, which in a lot of ways I love, but because of that, you do get a lot of different exposure. So it is about being proactive. And then, you know, even with what I just said, I'm now exposed to different pollens, and I'm exposed to different environments. So, again, your body has to adjust and adapt to all of those things. Making you a stronger terrain is always where, to me, is always my focus, because then your ability to handle it when you are exposed is just going to be that much better. And again, positive outcomes is what I want, exactly like my family.
Yeah, indeed.
Too. You know, positive outcomes. We want that positive outcome. If we jump on it and we really get, you know, a handle on it, it's amazing what we can do. And she was so great about like constantly reaching out to me, telling me what they wanted to do. And we discussed it all, and we made a lot of ways the right choices. I just gave her information, and we still used lots of the tools that I love to use, and we had a very positive outcome. So,
well, I know that there must be a tremendous amount of people that are just truly grateful that you're in their lives. I know I'm one of them. So let's go ahead now and switch gears. And talk about what I promised people today. I appreciate all of that update and that insight, because I feel like all of what you said was extremely necessary for people to know. They may not report it and say it like you say it on the national networks, but they're going to hear it, you know, up close, personal, and for real right here, and that's a good thing. Okay, well, listen, we promised the men that we were going to tell them how to live healthier, stronger, and longer, and that you have some vital nutritional and wellness tips for them. So I want to go ahead and dive into that today. We've got plenty of time to talk and plenty of time. If anybody wants to call in with a comment or a question, you can do that at 515-605-9714 to talk to Sunday. But I'd like to know, Sunday, you know, you've been at this for a minute, and what do men come to you about the most? What do they come to you about the most?
Well, you know, it covers the gamut of things. But I think that over the last, you know, 20 years, there's been such a shift and change and understanding of respect of what happens to men's testosterone levels as they get older. So hands down, I mean, of course, men come in for, you know, all the classic basic things. But, you know, when we start talking about men's health, we're going to start talking about, you know, testosterone, and we're going to start talking about that prostate, because those are, you know, majorly big issues that definitely affect men. And, of course, with that, there's going to be the changes to energy and fatigue and mood and libido and, you know, all of those types of things that correlate into the changes in those hormones. So, you know, mm-hmm. It's become a conversation so much more. We used to, I'm a pharmacist, so, you know, we've been giving women hormones for a long time, right? So for men, we just haven't addressed that. We know that men go through andropause. It's a known change that happens within men, usually at about the same ages and time when women are going or starting to shift and go through their whole perimenopause, menopause transition. So we know that these types of things start happening for men, and it is definitely when more men start walking in our door is, you know, directly related to those times. They're noticing a change in their drive and their motivation and their, you know, and they just know that it's different than when they were 25, right? So we mm-hmm. all want to feel good. We all want to feel our best at all times. So that tends to be when they start walking in. I am a big proponent of men having their hormones tested. I think it is vital to get a good solid baseline within your testosterone-based hormones, because it is the main hormone that is going to drive so much of your health, and you need to have this nice and strong. And, you know, and when those changes do start, you know, happening, we sometimes just don't see it connected to that. If I have a gentleman who comes in and all of a sudden he's having severe mood issues and depression, and maybe it's kind of been building, you know, he's running about 45 and we're starting to have some of these concerns, I immediately am going to be like, you have got to get your testosterone looked at. And it's not a difficult thing. You have that conversation with your physician, and you ask for simple tests. I ask for a total testosterone. I ask for them also to run what's called the free testosterone level, which is more the more functional, more active form of those hormones. And then I also ask for something called DHEA, which is the precursor hormone to help you make the testosterone itself. So I ask you to get those three main things looked at. There's more we can always talk about, but those are those main components. It's great to get that baseline. After age 50 anyway, our DHEA production drops, which then starts leading to changes within all the hormones that those make, that the DHEA makes, and it makes testosterone. We also get progesterone. We get estrogen from that same base hormone of DHEA. So it is something that I do like men to get take a look at. And, you know, realize the range of a total testosterone is very broad, and it can vary from lab to lab. I'm seeing some interesting changes I'm not so sure I'm happy about, but I'm seeing some of the ranges of acceptable testosterone shift down, which I don't like. I think for most men, they're going to feel best with a very, very solid total testosterone level. And I'm talking like, you know, good 800, 900 on that level. And right now it's okay if you're 300. And that's unacceptable to me, because as a gentleman who is noticing some changes in how they feel, that 300 level is going to feel very different than that 800 level. So, you know, so it's important to understand and respect the fact that, you know, this is really important, and men, you know, we need to have, you know, more look at that. So I could tell you a really interesting story, because this happened to, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead and tell your story.
So about 20 years ago, I was at a conference, and there was an amazing speaker who had just wrote a book, Dr. Joseph Collins. He's a natural physician, wrote a book called What's Your Menopause Type? And, you know, this was during the era of, for people going back, using Premarin for hormone health, which is not even used anymore, but it was all the rage. It was what every doctor used for every woman in menopause. But Dr. Collins wrote this book called What's Your Menopause Type? And I happened to hear him lecture. And in the very, very beginning introduction, he said menopause and he said andropause. And 20 years ago, we weren't even talking about andropause. And I literally hardly could focus on the rest of his lecture because I was completely taken by andropause, which I knew what he meant. So afterwards, I went up to him after all everybody. I had to chase him down. I finally got him, and I said, hey, doc, thank you so much. Great lecture. Love your book. Tell me about andropause. Tell me what this is. And this is what he said, and I still use it to describe to men to this day. I go, so it is the man, and men are going through andropause when women are going through and starting the whole menopause thing. The thing about it is women's hormones are up, and then they're down, and then they're up, and then they're down, and then they're up, and then they're down. So we wear our hormones on our sleeve. It's obvious, and that's fine. I love the fact that I'm female, and that's what I do. But men are a slow, steady, downward drop, and it's slow and steady. So it is not seen. It is not obvious that there's change happening. It's very, very slow. So from 40 to 50, and sometimes even starting younger, we see this slow, steady decline in testosterone levels in men. So he said it presents like a gentleman who just gets home from work and really things, grass has got to get cut, I got to do some things, but I really don't want to, so I'm going to sit here with the remote control and just watch some TV. He goes, it might be the gentleman who just needs, he's looking for a spark, so he'll go out and buy a sports car or do something to try and just spark his life. And as he's saying this, I'm like, oh my gosh, you need to write a book on andropause, because this is so many men in that same age that you start to see these subtle changes on, and they don't know why. And it literally can be something as simple as these changes in hormones. And with that, it then starts sparking other health issues. It's a very protective hormone, you know, for you as a man. And so it's something that we want to keep, you know, very solid. And we don't want it over, but we want it healthy. And again, as those changes start to happen, we start to see other things happen where actually more, prostate-related issues, a lot of prostate cancers are estrogen-based cancers. Just like women have estrogen-based breast cancer, it's very common. You know, that shift down in testosterone starts leading men more into that world. And, you know, we want to start minimizing that. But healthy testosterone levels are just vital. And I love what Dr. Collins had said. And like I said, I use it to this day, and it describes a lot of men. So,
Sunday, I want to ask this. You actually answered my question during what you just said. I was going to ask, how
sure.
does that impact other issues of health? And you said that it is a critical part of other issues that could arise from the lack of
yes.
Testosterone. I'm wondering, when are there early signs that are very apparent that men can get a real good jump start on getting that issue addressed and getting on supplements or medications or whatever necessary to keep them feeling the way they
feeling
should?
Solid.
Because sometimes, you know, what we will do, not just men but women, you know, we will feel some kind of way about things, but we'll think it's something going on at work or with people or family or something that's impacting the mood or, you know, the way we feel. Is there
right,
something
absolutely.
That is a true trigger in all of that, that they can maybe say, oh, this might be a health issue and I might need to go check that out? Age is one factor. I got that clearly.
Yep.
You know what's going to happen, maybe late 30s on up to 50-ish.
Yep.
That's when to pay attention is what I think I heard you say.
Yep.
What are some of the things that they may notice in their mental, emotional, physiology.
Okay. So, you know, when I do have men come in, and if I even question that there's some shifting that's happening in there, and if you do go, just understand, if you do go to your practitioner and say, you know, I really would like to have my testosterone checked, one of the first things they're going to ask is, how is your libido? And if you say, yeah, my libido's fine, their whole thought process shifts and they go, oh, then your testosterone's fine. Your levels are fine. You're fine. And I go, but that's not all that this does. This maintains your lean muscle tissue immensely. That's why men can think about losing weight and they lose weight. They have this high level and then it's easier to maintain muscle tissue. And so if you're noticing some changes in that strength, if you're starting to notice those, you know, mood issues that you just can't quite understand. You're like, I am in a relationship I love. I love my significant other and, you know, life is good and, you know, work is okay. You know, everything can always be maybe a little bit better, but I do like what I do. Why am I feeling this way? When there's something that just doesn't add up. Now, granted, you know, I could talk about, you know, other, you know, healthy chemistry factors for depression and anxiety all day long. But, you know, if there's just kind of those unknowns where you're like, I shouldn't feel this way. I have seen low testosterone levels in a 27-year-old. I've seen a low testosterone level, and I'm not kidding, he was 21, which that should never be a thing. But his depression was extreme depression. And so it absolutely, to me, was something that should have been looked at and addressed immediately, because it was such an extreme situation. They should have looked at all of those factors, and hormones play a significant part in this. So it absolutely needed to be something that was looked at. So, you know, when it comes to, in general, how you're feeling, you know, you have to understand and respect that, again, the first question from the medical world is going to be, how is the libido? And if you say that's fine, I usually like to ask that question. Then I go, if you're a 50-year-old male getting your testosterone checked, do you think your testosterone feels, your libido feels the same as it did when you were 25? And if the answer is no, then that's, to me, how you need to answer that answer at age 50, because it can still be there, but it can be very significantly different than where you felt at 25. So you kind of need to make sure that you're answering that question, you know, and with a little bit different perspective. Okay. So I do like you to kind of think about that question a little bit before you answer it when you're talking to that healthcare practitioner, so that we can make sure that we can, you know, potentially get this tested.
I'm going to try to ask this question right. You're going to have to help me.
Sure.
But it's kind of in line with what you just said. For most men, sexual performance is a big deal. And
big deal.
So I'm wondering if the impact of the testosterone, can it be, I've seen commercials and stuff, and I'm sure that's what they're alluding to, but, you know, that's them, and I'm asking you. Is that a go-to supplement that can help with whatever issues they may feel could be a problem for them, or if they want to get ahead of the potential? I guess I think that probably that's it varies a lot among men depending on who they are. But
sure.
Is this something that is an enhancement for them? Is that something that, you know, should be considered? I know there's lots of drugs and things like that that are available now,
but could you
speak to that? Because I know that that's very important for most men.
for exactly. And from the perspective, even from, you know, there's a lot of medications out there. I mean, that was a revolution within the pharmaceutical world when they started launching a lot of those meds. You know, but at the same time, no matter what, even as I sit here and talk about the importance and the health of testosterone in men, it is still, you still have to know, and I know I've talked about this, and within, you know, I've been on the show enough that you know, a lot of people have listened to us understand. I'm a basic girl at my core. I believe in basic things that help totally drive the human body, no matter what and who you are. And all those basic things are what drive health in you. So health is first and foremost always the most important thing. And you will never get and maintain healthy numbers, even in your testosterone, even with all this fancy stuff, unless you own your health, period. Okay? So with that, that comes into all the basics that drive a healthy body. And, you know, and I'm a big believer in a good, you know, multivitamin and getting vitamins and minerals that are in solid, healthy forms and an adequate dosing to help drive you. Because I could talk about, you know, healthy diet. We could talk about the importance of all those things. But if you're choosing to kind of negate your health and then try to gravitate towards some of the things that you see ads for, you might get an initial response. It's going to not be a long-term effective choice. And so you're going to start searching out other things. Again, the root all the way around is total health. And, you know, the stronger the body is, the better outcomes you're going to have with a lot of those products that are out there. Some to me are probably not the best qualities. Type of products, but there are a lot of great products out there, and it's what I spend a lot of, you know, my time talking to Matt about is, you know, if you use the right things in the right ways and combine it with other healthy life changes, you know, the body knows what it wants. We know what drives us at a cellular level. I love biochemistry, and I love how the body functions. So, you know, if we drive all those things and maintain that health, then a lot of these other things come along for the ride, because now the body's just in a healthier place. So always remember that, you know, not just always to jump on the bandwagon for some of those things, but really, truly, you know, building up that health. It's, you know, this is no different in how I'm going to talk to women when they come in and they're going through menopause and having, you know, terrible issues, and they have no sex drive, and they're just in a miserable place. I'm not just going to give them something for their sex drive. I'm going to get them into a healthier place, and all of that will come along for the ride, because now the body's in a healthier place, period. So, you know, it's just the basics of what drives the human body, and you know, then how we can use some of those other things when, you know, when we absolutely need to. So men are going to be no different. It's still very important to me. So when men come in, this is a big conversation. We have this conversation multiple times a week with many men, you know, just because this is such a big important factor for them. But at part of it is still health. So we still have to make sure we maintain that solid health. So.
Well, I'm certainly glad to know that they are seeking the kind of services that you offer to complement that. What you said just makes so much sense.
Right.
I want to ask you about another issue that, and you touched on this briefly, but because this is another thing I hear that's so dominant, and that's depression. And it's not just women, men. It's children, it's women, it's a lot of places. But can you talk about that? And I would like for you to address. I think many people have a problem admitting to themselves that they are in a place where probably a professional of some sort could help me. And I'm hoping we're coming to a better place in society, and with all of the information that we're minimizing those fears now, or, you know, whatever feedback we feel we might get, because I know there's, like you mentioned several times already, in your life there are other things that play into our overall health, and sometimes nothing can be done about some of those things with some people. But let's talk about the depression in men. I know that can be brief, but I know that it can also be very long-lasting.
Right, right. Well, you know, because I don't know if it's, you know, society factors have kind of, you know, steered that, you know, into, like, I men can't be depressed or something, but by all means, it definitely is a thing. So, I mean, it's just how chemistry works. I point out to people, you have all your hormones in your body, and your hormones are not just your sex hormones. They're your adrenal gland hormones and your thyroid hormones and your pituitary hormones, and you have all these different hormones in your body, and then you have what are called neurotransmitters, which is all that chemistry that we talk about, like serotonin and dopamine and PEA and, you know, all these amazing little pieces, epinephrine, norepinephrine, these are all part of what we call your neurotransmitters. And all of your neurotransmitters and your hormones do is communicate information in your body. They tell the body what to do, when to do it, how long to do it. I mean, and it's this amazing cycle of things. And all it takes is one of those little pieces to be off to kind of send a whole domino effect through the whole, all your chemistry. So, to say that, you know, one little change doesn't start sparking, you know, a whole bunch of else is silly. Of course, you know, once we see a little change in one piece, it's easy for other things to kind of fall off. And I think that sometimes we might look at, issues for men a little bit differently, in the fact that they need to be, they're just different. Women are maybe a little bit more vocal about how they feel. So men tend to keep a lot of things inside and really not be seen maybe wear that tougher sleeve or whatever, and just be like, I'm just going to kind of power through it, rather than actually speaking up and saying something about it. But, you know, either way, the depression is and anxiety are incredibly real things. I applaud any gentleman that walks in by me and is very honest and straightforward about what's going on, because you need to own what's happening, and you need to then take responsibility for it, and let's do something. Let's put in here. And however you choose to do it, I think it's really important to find somebody to talk things out with. You have to. We are a product of a lot of things that have happened to us in our lifetime, and I think it's very important to find that place, find a way for you to deal with and help and learn some coping skills. I think it's also extremely important, no matter what and who you are. Those are tools that can carry you for a lifetime, so very important to, you know, focus on that. And I think for a lot of men, one of the first things is just it's okay to say something, that this is what's going on, and share with somebody that you know that is important to you, that is going to, you know, kind of help be that person for you. But I have worked with a lot of gentlemen over the years that have struggled with a lot of depression, and the ones who get the best outcomes are the ones who are constantly coming in, and we're talking about it, we're adjusting things, and they eventually truly learn how to cope and how to help themselves. So, like I said, I've been doing this a lot of years. I've worked with some companies that actually test that chemistry so we can get a good handle on it. And then we can learn what you do. Are you low in your serotonin? Do we need to do something there? Is dopamine a factor? Is there some addictive tendencies that are going hand in hand with your mood issues? So, you know, there's a you know, a lot of positive direction. And I think it's important, no matter what, for men to understand that, you know, they're a human being too, and this is just what can happen. Life is what it is. So, again, own it and let's do something about it. And please don't bury it down somewhere, because that usually is never a good outcome. So, you know, important to address it going forward. So, but, you know, Sunday, you know,
would you suggest,
again, things, yeah.
Would you suggest that, you know, most of us have been taught and trained to get at least one annual checkup. I'm not sure, you know, if men are always on board with that. None of us like to hear any negative news, and I think that, you know, when we get to those annuals, we, especially as we get older, we think something's going to be there to tell us something.
No,
but,
right.
But it's so necessary to stay on top of those annuals and those checkups. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Well, you know, you always, you know, you need to understand what's going on in your own body. And, you know, then understanding that, then never, and of course I tell people, never bury your head in the sand. Now, if you go to the doctor and you've got this really bad lipid panel and cardiac disease is a major issue in your family, you know, you see, you know, family members, you know, that are, you know, having strokes and heart attacks by age 55, and all of a sudden we're seeing this bad chemistry panel come in and you're 45, then we absolutely need to address that. We got to do something. Again, you never bury your head in the sand, not with anything. You want to take ownership and be responsible for it, but you want to do something, right? So, you know, but there's plenty of different ways to address and get that lipid panel in check, whether you choose pharmaceutical, whether you choose nutritional and diet. There's great ways to get some of those numbers into a healthier place. So, you know, it is always important to get some of those basics done. I do tell people that sometimes we're doing some, there's a lot of shifting happening within the medical world as far as what they will test. I think it's really important for most men to get some type of baseline PSA, you know, when they're, you know, 45, 50 years old, which is the prostate specific antigen, checking that PSA just to start getting some idea. Prostate issues are very, very, very common. Most men, and just how I say this next line, hopefully people, you know, you understand, most men die with prostate cancer, not from prostate cancer, but most men have prostate cancer. And it's very fascinating because if you're 50 years old, about 50% of men are already starting to show some type of prostate cancer. At 60 years old, about 60% of men will be seeing some type of prostate cancer. At 50, at 70, 70%. 80, 80%. Now, that's why the statement I made is so important. Most men will die with prostate cancer, not from prostate cancer. So with that, it's still important to understand and take ownership of that. But we are actually, the whole medical world is steering towards less, and I it's interesting for me to say this, but we're steering towards less testing of PSA. We are doing less of this. We're not doing it routinely like we had been. We're doing less and less testing. So it is important you take ownership of your health, and I think we have to be, you know, kind of a very proactive for our own health in this regard. But, you know, making sure that you understand what that PSA is about and actually asking for those levels if you're if they're not being brought up to you is important. So, you know, ask for that PSA here and there, because we know that prostate cancer is extremely, extremely common. It is a matter of again, being proactive for it. Prostate issues in men, my gosh, we could do a whole show just on the prostate. So, because it just becomes a factor for men, you know, the urinary issues and more likely towards infections and all sorts of other things that start coming when that prostate starts giving a little grief. But also understand that there's so many ways to help keep that prostate as healthy and strong as possible. You know, again, something that we deal with on a regular basis is prostate health too, because that does start becoming to be a very big issue in a lot of men, whether they're having, they're up 3-4 times a night to have to go to the bathroom because that dang prostate is acting up. So, mm-hmm. you know, we also want to make sure that, you know, we can be very proactive for some of those pieces as well. I love herbs like saw palmetto. I love what the curcumins or the active components of turmeric can do for that, you know, prostate, that little prostatitis that might be starting to aggravate a few men here and there. There's many, and I'm a huge believer, believe it or not, in pumpkin seed and pumpkin seed oil. I use this in women for bladder health and cystitis issues. I use it in men for prostate, prostatitis, and again, bladder issues in men. I love what pumpkin seed and pumpkin seed oil can do. I use it in capsule form in a lot of people because it is so incredibly soothing to the bladder. And I'm very proactive for health. So it's something that I use, you know, a lot to go forward with, even those nagging prostate issues that might be coming up too. So so realize, you know, from
well, that's something new I've heard you say.
Yeah, and the pumpkin seed oil.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's amazing stuff. Yeah. So, you know, it's a matter of if you enjoy pumpkin seeds, then by all means, let's, you know, start using them a little bit more. We tend to eat them maybe once a year when we, you know, carve pumpkins and make some pumpkin seeds. But, you know, it's an amazing little seed that, you know, I'm a huge fan of. And certain cultures are really good about using pumpkin seeds in their diet. And but most of us aren't and don't incorporate as much as we should. So, yeah, big fan of that. But, you know, it's,
okay.
You know, yeah.
Well, I wanted to hit one last major area. I was trying to make sure we did some of the major points, and I'm sure you've got a lot to say about this, too, because it impacts all of us. But let's talk about specific to men, and that's weight.
Yes. You know, it traditionally has been easier, of course, for men to lose weight than women. Women are given a lot more fat than men. It's just naturally how we are designed. But, you know, weight is always going to be an issue no matter what for, you know, male or female. It's just kind of always what we struggle with in the U.S. in general. But, you know, again, even when anybody, no matter what, male or female, walk in my door and their whole focus is weight loss, and they're like, I want to lose weight. What's that magic thing? And I'm like, there is no magic thing. You know, again, no matter what it comes down to me is it comes down to health. The healthier your body is, the healthier you're doing and making healthy choices and doing and incorporating things into your day that are healthy, the easier it is to lose weight, okay? It is about getting healthy first. And then weight loss can be a beautiful side effect of that, okay, because the body is going to be ready and free to let go. But when it comes to weight, I'd point out to people, no matter what, male or female, fat is a storage unit for junk, okay? Your body uses fat as a protection tool, and it stores things. And just like any animal does, you know, they store things in their fat cells, and we do the same thing as humans. So it is important that the healthier and cleaner, less, you know, bad things coming in, the less the fat cells will need to store. Also, then a shrinking of that fat cell becomes what happens, and your body needs to be able to eliminate all those things that those fat cells have been storing, namely hormones and, again, different things. So weight loss to me, no matter what, even male or female, literally becomes a very important aspect of getting solid health and, you know, of course, eating really well. And I focus largely on liver health, especially in men. I focus on kidney health a lot in women. But your organs of elimination need to be strongly, strongly on board with us when we're really starting to want that journey of really good fat loss and shrinking of that fat cell. So we need to look at focusing on those other pieces. You know, one of the things that might even just to understand is if we're not feeling good and we're having mood issues, a lot of people start gravitating towards food. A lot of people, then the bad stuff that you start eating, and then maybe alcohol or something that some type of habit that's not that great, because we're looking for something to make us feel good. And unfortunately, with those types of things is going to come certain weight aspects, right? So it is, you know, getting healthy, period, involves making sure that, you know, we've got a solid you, you've got that solid self-control, so that you can make those healthy choices, and then weight loss just becomes a nice factor of that. Again, there's no magic bullet. There's just no magic thing out there that's magically going to help you with weight loss. It is going to be a matter of getting healthy.
Is there ever a point where you would suggest something supplemental or even surgical? Is there ever a point where you see that could be a necessity or is a necessity?
Yeah, surgical, no, because I've seen way too much. I've worked with so many people over the years who have chosen those, and then it's a matter of you swap one problem for a myriad of other problems. And so I'm just not a fan, you know, of that. Now, I think there are some supplements, but, you know, and realize that the thing that did the most for weight loss is not even legal anymore. So the product that we used for years that did the most for weight loss by far ever had been Ephedra. And we do not any longer use that. It is illegal to use that. And because if it's used incorrectly, it can, you know, lead to a myriad of issues. And everything else that we have is only slightly above that. There's a lot to be said for really truly cleaning up the diet and moving, of course. And moving and making sure you're moving, even if it's going up and down your own staircase, you know, 20 times, just to do some moving, you've got to move. And then, of course, you know, the things that help start boosting metabolism, your metabolism systems are things like your thyroid. I do think it's sometimes important to understand that we need to check these. Thyroid, your adrenal glands, those are major metabolism systems for us. DHEA that I mentioned earlier, which is an amazing little hormone that is made in your adrenal glands, besides making some of your sex hormones, DHEA also does has another beautiful pathway that it does where you have energy and metabolism. So it's called the 7-keto DHEA pathway, which just helps keep that energy up and keeps that metabolism up. So you know, sometimes getting some of these things done and checked just to make sure that some of these metabolism pathways are okay might be important. But, you know, having some of those things looked at and then corrected if we need to could help with some of that you know, weight loss moving forward. You know, as a whole, the more we understand how our bodies work, the more, you know, we will, you know, we have that ability to respect it and help it. And then it has that wonderful ability to help us. So, you know, it's why for me, education, and I educate my people all the time. You talk to me, you come in to see me, and I will talk your ear off because I want you to understand you. I want you to understand your body. Your body is telling you every single thing you need to know. Every beautiful thing that your body is telling you, whether you look at it as a negative, I always look at it as a positive. Because your body is trying to communicate a very necessary information to you, and it needs your help. So it's trying to tell you something. The more you understand that, mm-hmm. the better. The more you learn you, the better. So again, like I said, a negative and different changes going on doesn't mean anything bad. It just means pay attention. I need your help. And I need you to do some different things so that I can feel better. And it's just about learning that we live in a lot of fear of our body, and that then leads to worry, and it leads to depression, and it leads to this huge unknown. And the more we embrace it and we learn its communication, the better. I'm a huge fan of Chinese medicine and a huge fan of the beauty of Ayurvedic medicine. And what they have done in thousands of years of being around is learned how to listen to the human body. Mm-hmm. And we have so much fear of what our body tells us. And I don't want that fear. I want you to understand that this communication is only signals. Your body is trying to help you because that's its job. Its job is to help you. Its job is to protect you. That's its job. And so if you learn to understand it, then a lot of fear can melt away as you start to help it, and it'll start paying you back. And you'll be a huge change. It's something that I have learned for myself. It's just been life-changing for myself. All the things I learned, I know for a fact I cannot start my day with a bagel and cream cheese. There is no way I am going to be functional that day if I start my day with that food. I will literally want to take a nap by about 10 o'clock in the morning, and my brain is mush. So that is not going, it's true. It's, you know, for years ago when that was that phase, oh, I have a bagel and cream cheese, and then there's no fat, blah, blah, you know, all these kind of things. And I felt terrible, and I'm like, what's going on? I use my brain all the time. I cannot have this failing me like this. This is awful. So that is not how I start my day. I will not start my day with those pieces because that's how they make me feel. So, you know, if you really pay attention as you're starting to do things, how is your body truly responding to it? And it takes time. This is not a thing that you're going to figure out tomorrow. This is a process of learning that beautiful communication your body is trying to tell you. And listen and respect it, and learn to understand it. So, you know, I have done a lot of, I'm in transition. As you know, we've rebranded my business. I was Nutritional Designs. I'm now Family Strong Wellness. And within that, my website is shifting. So we're kind of under some construction with our new website. But on my old site, on Nutritional Designs, every single class I've ever taught is literally videotaped on that website. And it's free. You can go and watch them. Because my piano teacher always said practice is repetition. The more you hear things, the more you understand things, you know, over and over, at some point it's going to all of a sudden click. and you're going to start understanding a little bit more. And there's a lot to understand. And the beauty of what your body is trying to tell you is stunning. And just learn to respect it, not fear it. Don't fear it. Respect it and learn from it. So.
Well, I think that's a wonderful message. What's
yep.
that? Oh, I know.
I could keep,
we,
you know,
yeah,
I
we could all
talking,
afternoon.
So. I know.
Well, that's why I keep having you back, Sunday.
I love
that's exactly
back.
Why
I
keep
it.
Having you back.
Yep.
But I think that is a great place to wrap, to make sure we're paying attention to our bodies. And, you know, I mentioned the annual checkup, but I think really paying attention from day to day. You know,
absolutely.
I have this habit, this personal habit, that every morning when I'm waking up, once I realize I'm fully awake, I kind of listen to my body from my toes all the way to my head to see if I feel anything unusual. And I know that probably sounds strange to do first thing, but I feel like I'm at a stage in my life where I do need to pay attention if anything feels unusual, because my next thing is that I'm going to be moving to get up and start, you know, moving around. So I want to know if, you know, I feel any tightness or aches or pains or anything that's going on that that might be revealed to me. Thank God, no. But I think it's important to listen. Well, let me just roll back. Something more recent that I did recognize upon waking up is that it's weather related, it's pollen related, that I have some unusual kind of stuffiness in my sinuses. And I always opt to do something more natural. And so just sniffling up some saline water, salt water, to help dry that up is what I do. It's nothing that's causing any headaches or stress. I know that it's weather and pollen related, but things like that, just even the smaller things before it turns into something else, because I have had sinus issues in the past, and sinus infection is probably one of the ugliest things I think anybody can experience. They're so painful and so agitating. So I do pay attention to that, but I think it's just important to listen to your body. You said a few minutes ago, it'll tell you, you know, it'll tell us everything. It's talking to
absolutely.
Us talk constantly. So
I think
that's
what
just
you
my
absolutely
thought,
just,
Gary.
Yeah, no, what I think you just said, Silver, is perfect. Pay attention to those little things, because if you can address them before they become something big, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's fabulous. And you know, it's so important. And I'm with you. My sinuses are a big factor for me. So I do have type of saline thing every single day. So because
yeah.
I want to keep
seriously.
Them healthy, because I know my weak points. I've learned my
mm-hmm.
weak points. The older I get, we have weak points and they become more obvious, right? So I pay strong
right.
attention to my weak points. And my joints
mm-hmm.
are one of my weak points, so I pay attention to them and I make sure I'm addressing them so that nothing goes out of control. So absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Beautifully said. Yes.
Yeah, and I'll just mention one other thing, and this wasn't a serious issue, and I addressed it on my own because I do my annuals and all of that. And again, thank God that those are all wonderful. But I had I do walking, I do the elliptical, and I had a little bit of a tenderness in my knee that may have been tendonitis. It didn't feel like an injury. But I immediately got a compressed little deal to wrap around it that I used whether I felt the tenderness or not for weeks. And I was explaining to someone else recently, I'm smart enough to know that at this point in my life, I'm going to do what I feel is preventative. If I didn't address whatever that little tenderness was, that, you know, it wasn't something that I could feel on topically, but inside my knee, you know, and it went away. I mean, it just totally went away, but I just think it's important that we are, a word you use so many times, was be proactive about what needs to be done. If I can address it myself and it can go away, I'm not heading to the doctor or to the hospital. That's just not my thought, theory, or routine about taking care of myself. That's not the first thing I do to reach out for help. I would talk to you or go online to find out what needs to be done. You do need to do something, and I think that's been the entire point of our conversation and your expert insights and advice today. Make sure you are looking at your care and your health and your nutrition on a regular basis and not waiting for something, you know, major to occur that, you know, then that may not, you may not have a comeback from. So I hope that this has helped. I know that you have been extremely wonderful at explaining everything, and that's why I allow you to go ahead and talk, because I think that more information is better. When we're listening to things on TV, they're always in sound bites. You know, they say a sentence or two, and they really think that helps people, and it may give you know, a little bit of train of thought, but I want you to talk about it, and that's why I leave the broadness of our time together so that you can do all of the explaining. I know that's been very helpful to people. So thank you so much once again, and you know I'll have you back
thank
before
you.
Long.
Absolutely.
I truly appreciate
it. I'm always here to get silver. Yes.
Well, again, go ahead and mention your website again and those classes that you have online and videos that are free where they can see all of that.
Absolutely. Yep. So currently, like I said, we rebranded. I was Nutritional Designs for quite a long time, almost 20 years. So our website had been nutritionaldesigns.com, which is still active. And there's a lot of great videos and blogs and different things on there if you want to just kind of, you know, continue to get some more information. I always point out to people on those videos that I've done, you don't have to watch them. You can just listen to them. I'm not that entertaining to watch, but just listen and you just start to learn. we have rebranded. This just happened in February. We are now Family Strong Wellness. We moved locations. We've been in the process of just trying to get established. We have literally had an amazing surge in our business with this change, and we will be continuing to grow, and our website is in its infancy, and we're in the process of growing that. But you can always catch us on Facebook. We do have Family Strong Wellness on Facebook that's active, and we do have, you know, some little videos, and we did a lot of things during, you know, the initial COVID shutdowns and things. So we've got a lot of great information even on our Facebook site. So feel free to visit us there as well. So, but as always, I love being on your show. Thank you for having me again. I greatly appreciate it. And anytime you want to have another conversation, I would love to be here.
Well, you can count on that, and I appreciate you more. You know, we've been doing this for a whole bunch of years, so I'm not going to let you get
time.
Away. Well, you enjoy
right.
the rest of your day, and I will look forward to our next time and our next topic. So you take care
all
in
right.
the meantime.
Thanks. Thank you, Silver. Have a great day. All right.
You
Bye-bye.
Too. Thank you. And I want to thank all of you as well for hanging in there with me today. I love doing what I do because I believe what I do is helpful to others, and that's just me, and I'm all about that. I love bringing information and empowerment, education, insight to topics that I really feel that make us better in so many, many ways. So I hope that you were able to gain something from that, and if you are a woman who tuned in today and you've got men in your life who this could be helpful for, please share it or, you know, turn it on while, these shows are available 24/7. You can check them out any time of day and let them hear some of these things that were said today, because they definitely are meant to enrich your life. So I'm going to look forward to talking to you again. I have a show coming up on Monday, so watch for the promos for that. I will look forward to talking to you then. In the meantime, you be good, be blessed, be awesome, and stay safe.